Tractate 81. John 15. 4-7. Jesus called himself the vine, and his disciples the branches, and his Father the husbandman, whereon we have already discoursed as we were able. But in the present passage, while still speaking of himself as the vine, and of his branches, or, in other words, of the disciples, he said, "Abide in me, and I in you." They are not in him in the same kind of way that he is in them. And yet both ways tend to their advantage, and not to his. For the relation of the branches to the vine is such that they contribute nothing to the vine, but from it derive their own means of life, while that of the vine to the branches is such that it supplies their vital nourishment, and receives nothing from them. And so their having Christ abiding in them, and abiding themselves in Christ, are in both respects advantageous, not to Christ, but to the disciples. For when the branch is cut off, another may spring up from the living root, but that which is cut off cannot live apart from the root. And then he proceeds to say, "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me." A great encomium on grace, my brethren, one that will instruct the souls of the humble, and stop the mouths of the proud. Let those now answer it, if they dare, who, ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Let the self-complacent answer it, who think they have no need of God for the performance of good works. Fight they not against such a truth, those men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith, whose reply is only full of impious talk, when they say, "It is of God that we have our existence as men, but it is of ourselves that we are righteous?" What is it you say, you who deceive yourselves, and, instead of establishing free will, cast it headlong down from the heights of its self-elevation through the empty regions of presumption into the depths of an ocean grave? Why, your assertion that man of himself worketh righteousness, that is the height of your self-elation. But the truth contradicts you, and declares, "The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine." Away with you now over your giddy precipices, and, without a spot whereon to take your stand, vapor away at your windy talk. These are the empty regions of your presumption. But look well at what is tracking your steps, and, if you have any sense remaining, let your hair stand on end. For whoever imagines that he is bearing fruit of himself is not in the vine, and he that is not in the vine is not in Christ, and he that is not in Christ is not a Christian. Such are the ocean depths into which you have plunged. Ponder again and again what the truth has still further to say: "I am the vine," he adds, "you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." For just to keep any from supposing that the branch can bear at least some little fruit of itself, after saying, "The same bringeth forth much fruit," his next words are not, "Without me you can do but little, but you can do nothing." Whether then it be little or much, without him it is impracticable, for without him nothing can be done. For although, when the branch beareth little fruit, the husbandman purgeth it that it may bring forth more, yet if it abide not in the vine, and draw its life from the root, it can bear no fruit whatever of itself. And although Christ would not have been the vine had he not been man, yet he could not have supplied such grace to the branches had he not also been God. And just because such grace is so essential to life, that even death itself ceases to be at the disposal of free will, he adds, "If any one abide not in me, he shall be cast forth as a branch, and wither, and they shall gather him, and cast him into the fire, and he is burned." The wood of the vine, therefore, is in the same proportion the more contemptible if it abide not in the vine, as it is glorious while so abiding. In fine, as the Lord likewise says of them in the prophet Ezekiel, "When cut off, they are of no use for any purpose of the husbandman, and can be applied to no labor of the mechanic. The branch is suitable only for one of two things, either the vine or the fire. If it is not in the vine, its place will be in the fire, and that it may escape the latter, may it have its place in the vine. If you abide in me, he says, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. For abiding thus in Christ, is there aught they can wish but what will be agreeable to Christ? So abiding in the Savior, can they wish anything that is inconsistent with salvation? Some things, indeed, we wish because we are in Christ, and other things we desire because still in this world. For at times, in connection with this our present abode, we are inwardly prompted to ask what we know not it would be inexpedient for us to receive. But God forbid that such should be given us if we abide in Christ, who, when we ask, only does what will be for our advantage. Abiding, therefore, ourselves in him, when his words abide in us we shall ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. For if we ask, and the doing follows not, what we ask is not connected with our abiding in him, nor with his words which abide in us, but with that craving and infirmity of the flesh which are not in him, and have not his words abiding in them. For to his words, at all events, belongs that prayer which he taught, and in which we say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Let us only not fall away from the words and meaning of this prayer in our petitions, and whatever we ask, it shall be done unto us. For then only may his words be said to abide in us, when we do what he has commanded us, and love what he has promised. But when his words abide only in the memory, and have no place in the life, the branch is not to be accounted as in the vine, because it draws not its life from the root. It is to this distinction that the word of Scripture has respect, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. For many retain them in their memory only to treat them with contempt, or even to mock at and assail them. It is not in such as have only some kind of contact, but no connection, that the words of Christ abide, and to them, therefore, they will not be a blessing, but a testimony against them, and because they are present in them without abiding in them, they are held fast by them for the very purpose of being judged according to them at last.